Enjoy the sunshine while you can. It's coming in over here for us. So Kathy and Karen, if we could have you join us, we'll get started here, please. It is the bell. The school bell has rung. Or as I call the beagle bell. Okay. Thank you very much, commissioners. Thank you very much, and we want to welcome our monthly meeting to the public, and we certainly appreciate your involvement and your participation in our meeting, and look forward to the presentation today that we're going to have. We're actually going to have two, and I think will be very, very enlightening in what we hear and discuss. First of all, I'd like to have an approval of the minutes. The agenda, please.
I move.
Second?
I second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Carries. Thank you. Hopefully all the commission members have been able to read the minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes? Then I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes, please.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you very much. I'd like to take a few minutes to give you what we call a chair report and talk a little bit about the structure and how we are changing with the commission structure a little bit. We're going from a committee structure more into a work project structure, and we'll be discussing that at our next workshop next month, which is March 18th at 3:30 p.m., and that'll be led by Bob Holdridge and Colette Anderson. The agency, what we've done is we've come up with implementation of a new work plan, and it's got four key areas. One is the executive committee, one would be advocacy, the third would be awareness and education, and the fourth is project committees. The advocacy role that we're doing is we're going to be partnering with groups regarding common issues, and Colette Anderson and myself met with Dave Kelly and Claus Michael of Washington Association of Area Agencies on Aging regarding partnering with them in our common legislative goals and agendas and objectives. Chuck, one of our commission members, and myself will be attending the Senior Lobby Day on February 20th, which is this Thursday in Olympia, and we'll be meeting with our Clark County representatives and senators regarding issues that we think are of importance to the Clark County Commission on Aging as well as the AAA. Karen Wall and I actually met with Commissioner Melky earlier in the month, and we had a very productive meeting with him. I then met with Commissioner Stewart last week and had another very productive meeting with him, and they're very appreciative of our involvement and our goals and objectives that we have come up with regard to the Commission on Aging. We'll be scheduling a meeting with Commissioner Midori at the recommendation of the other two commissioners within the near future. We'll be talking to him about the Commission on Aging as well. Commissioner Stewart is also looking forward to our joint Commissioner Clark County Commission and our Commission on Aging meeting that we'll be having later on this year to discuss about our annual report and to discuss other goals and objectives we need to be aware of in the county. The Commission wants to take an opportunity to acknowledge individuals and groups by appreciating their efforts in implementing strategies of the Aging Readiness Task Force Plan. And Two of those have come to mind. One is the retirement of Claus Michael, and I don't know whether I'm saying the last name correctly or not. I called him his name is Klaus, not Claus. I called him Santa Claus for 2 years. So we want to take our time and send some appreciate his efforts in helping us in our work here. The other is someone we're going to hear speaking, which is Let's Share Housing, which is coming forward to present today their plan for giving options within our county with regard to shared housing. I would also like to offer our condolences as a commission to Marina, and I need some help on the last name. What?
Nazaretson.
Okay, Nazaretson. Who was in charge of SWOG's information and assistance activities. We certainly pass along our condolences at her passing and wish the family well through their time of grief. The committee engagement committee is currently progressing and developing a plan, and we'll have more information on that in upcoming months. The supportive services telehealth conference, we're actually going to use that as a topic for one of our upcoming Clark County Commission workshop sessions and discuss how we want to proceed with that particular program, and Randy Schill will be providing that direction, hopefully, to us. The Communication Committee is, we have our Speakers Bureau available for events. Some of the future events that we'll be participating on is the 50 Plus Expo. The Universal Green Design individuals will be working the Clark County Home and Garden Show. We have the Recycled Arts Fair, which will be featuring handmade crafts from older individuals. Our board retreat. I, as chair of the Clark County Commission on Aging, will be speaking to the Clackamas County Advisory Committee in Oregon on how we developed our plan here in Clark County, and we'll be moving that forward. Also, we've been asked by Leadership Clark County to present to the students in that particular program, and that is April 11th. Karen Wall, myself, and Lisa Rasmussen will be presenting to those individuals about the Commission on Aging and about the intergenerational aspects of our plan. And last of all, I'd like to say that Let's Share Housing will be presenting to us here shortly, and there is a joint kickoff event with the Clark County Commission on Aging and Let's Share Housing, and it's in March this month. You need to go to our website to look at the date for that. Another thing is that we have is the city of an invitation to any of the public as well as our commission members is the City Club of Portland will be hosting hosting and moderating a forum to address the question, how age-friendly are Portland's housing options? The date is Wednesday, February 26, 2014. And again, you can go to the City Club of Portland website to determine the time and where that event is. Again, the Universal Green Design Group is still working with the group to have a handicap accessible home be available to a disabled veterans by Veterans Day, working with those individuals. The next workshop at 3:30 is March 18th, will be Colette Anderson and Bob Holdridge, presenting on the Clark County Commission on Aging Work Plan. And our next commission meeting will be at 4:30 with Kevin and Gillette of the Community Housing Resources will be presenting for us. So at this point in time, I would like to certainly turn it over to Let's Share Housing, who we certainly appreciate them coming. And it's been exciting to see how they've developed their program and how they'll implement it within Clark County. And I'll let you introduce yourselves. You can probably do a much better job than I can.
Progress that we've made with Let's Share Housing and how we see it unfolding and how excited we are to offer the community of Vancouver the opportunity to come and hear about shared housing and what that might offer your community. So after 4 years of working with people in shared housing, we decided, I'll be speaking to you about the workshops, and we decided what we needed to do was to create a session of workshops for people who are considering shared housing, because although you can just get yourself a roommate, there's a lot of things involved in really deeply considering sharing your life in a home with other people. And so in order to do that, we have come up with a series of 4 workshops. The first one will be on March the 11th, and that's a Tuesday. And that workshop is called What is Shared Housing and Is It for Me? So that's giving the community the opportunity to come and explore what shared housing is, and we're doing it through interactive group participation, brainstorming, individual kind of contemplation. We have a team of experts that we've created that will be doing part of the presenting of the workshops, so that we're having professionals who will be there to present their areas of expertise. The workshops, the second, third, and fourth workshops are the 13th, so they'll be 2 days apart, those first two. The 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. So there'll be 3 consecutive workshops on Thursday evenings from 5 to 8 at the public library on C Street. And some of the questions that we're going to be looking at is knowing thyself, creating agreements, both with yourself first, because you need to know what it is you're looking for, and then also the importance of being complete on your profile on the website that Zoe will be talking about. We'll be doing interviewing skills for people so that they'll get a chance to think about what is involved in an interview and how you do a good one. We'll be having people have the opportunity to then do sort of mock interviews with each other. So part of the purpose of these classes is for people to be able to interact with each other, to get to know each other, because maybe there's people in those classes that would make great housemates, but also the hands-on learning process of practicing how you do interviews and learning the things that are important to consider. Then the workshop 3 is about the homeowner creating space. Like they may have space, but how do they clear that space out, as well as the house seeker, what are they going to do with their stuff? If they're going to be blending households, you need to think about how you're going to downsize. And then in terms of what we call the nitty-gritty, which is the fourth or the third workshop in the 3 series, is homeowners and renters insurance, is protecting yourself, making sure that you have your ducks in a row, making sure that you have those pieces in place that in case there would be, you know, some kind of damage to the home or something lost, or, you know, that you're protected. So, and then also we are going to be offering legal counsel options. Of course, that would be the last, sort of the last, what would you say that? The last ditch, I guess, in terms of things going awry. What we're wanting to do is really focus on the upfront planning so that we can minimize the issues on the back end. That's, you know, what we really want to focus on. So then the last session will also have a potluck where people who are graduating will come and be able to network together. As these series go on, we'll be able to invite former graduates from the program to come join those potlucks, so that that group of networking people will get larger and larger. And we also just want to be sure that we extend a welcome to you, all of you, who would like to come and attend, particularly that first workshop on the 11th might be of interest to you. So,
what did I say? Oh, the location of it?
It's at the library on C Street.
Okay.
Cool, that one's at C Street too.
Yeah, oh. Right, they're all at C Street. The first meeting is in the Columbia Room, I believe, the big one on the main floor. We're hoping for many, many people. You know, if there's anybody in your lives that you might, you know, think could benefit from shared housing, as we said in our earlier presentation, think of people from age 18 on up who might be interested, you know, for various types of shared housing situations.
And the time?
From 5 to 8 p.m. It's 5:30 to 7:30 because we need time to set up the room, so apologize for that.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Michelle. So over the course of time, we've looked at our website. Anyone that was here last time, we kind of went and did a little overview of the website. We brought in a new web developer who is making the new site, and we're not going to show it to you because it's under wraps right now. But we're really excited about it. It's going to be more of a social platform so that when people go on the site, things are going to be very easy to navigate, very easy for people to find one another, to search by location, to connect by location. Everything is still going to be anonymous to begin with, but there will be a chat component that's added to the site that allows people to communicate. Right now, the site is set up where when folks are members, they can communicate with one another anonymously, but it goes through emails, and so it's not a real-time communication mechanism. But when the new site rolls out before the 1st of March, everyone will have the ability, once they're registered and have completed their criminal history background check, everyone that's on the site will have to have a criminal history background check in order to be able to publish their profile or advertise. So that's all been set into place. We think that it's the first level of people beginning to check each other out. Then they'll be able to chat with one another and display up to 6 photographs of their home. And there will be featured homes that are shown, featured seekers. And as Michelle talked about, the trusted partners and the consultants that are providing assistance for the workshops, they will also have their own unique page on the website. And so if someone finds that they're running into some sort of a glitch or issue where they might want to have a consultation with someone about downsizing or any other mechanisms that are they're processing when they're considering sharing, there'll be someone available for them there so that they can tap into that as a resource. So that we really think that it's going to be a really great way for people to develop their community overall. And it is going to serve people from all ages. Most of our demographic is from the 50 to 65 year old range. You know, those are the people that reach out to us most frequently. But I think as time goes on, you know, people are going to, you know, college kids are going to find this is a really good method to find lower cost housing options. They may not want to be in a party house. They want to be in a home that's more like a home-like setting, and so choose to move into a space where someone that's more like family would be able to help support them as they journey through their process, and vice versa. So we're really excited about the new changes that are coming, and we know that it's going to be a really good complement to the workshops.
One other thing I wanted to add here is just in closing is that we just really wanted to emphasize that the shared housing concept is for people who are independent and still thriving, living in the community. This is not for frail elderly that need any kind of care.
So any questions from the commissioners?
I think you guys have done a great job, and I know last time was a little rough. And I can't wait to see the website. I also sit on another advisory committee. That's why I was asking the extra questions. And they serve this population, and there's about 20 of them, and they've been asking when this is going to be. So I'll put the invite out to them tomorrow, and I'll certainly be there. But I do appreciate the effort that you guys did in answering some of the questions that we had. And, you know, I am excited to look forward. One of these days, I'll be on your website and enroll.
Yeah, look forward to seeing me.
Well,
I'm glad to come.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I have a question for you. You're going to be doing a great job with these workshops that you're going to be having with your kickoff, and I'm wondering if that kind of information will be made available or will maybe even be required of participants once the website is, you know, up and running and the program is going.
If they choose not to take the workshop, is that what you mean?
No, I'm saying, would you perhaps require that they
take the workshops?
Right now it's built into a tiered membership system, so people can choose to take the workshop series or not. We're not requiring that they do. We think that the background checks are part of it. Some people have been business operators, or they may have at one point in time raised a family, and say that, so they kind of know how to interact with other people. Some people may have been alone for quite a while. And it's certainly something that we're going to recommend that people consider doing, but we're not going to force them unless we get to the point where we see that everyone really kind of needs to have this background. But it will be available over the course of time as we develop it. In webinars, there are going to be materials that are downloadable, brochures that are available. They'll be able to pick up for a fee, the entire booklet and pamphlet, so that they can download that and utilize it to walk themselves through the process. And like I said, they would also have the ability to speak one-on-one with consultants or have someone come out and help walk them through the process. So there's a variety of different things that are happening, and they're not all set into place, but they're in the system getting ready to go. So
great, thank you.
You're welcome.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank both you, Zoe and Michelle, for doing this and coming up with the idea and the concept and actually moving it forward. It's a great, great service for Clark County residents, and I certainly appreciate that and your efforts in helping us realize one of our housing goals. So thank you very much.
I also want to say thank you to Vancouver for recognizing the value of what we offer. I mean, you guys contacted us, the commission, and asked us, to come and meet you. So we appreciate that. So thank you.
It's just a love fest all around.
Thank you.
And look at that, we're right at 5 o'clock, which is great for our next speaker. So we're on time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
At this point in time, I'd like to introduce to you Warren Neff, who's a member of the Clark County Food System Council, or as they call it, the FSC. And he will present on promoting agricultural food production in Clark County. And what this does is outlines the importance of maintaining rural lands best suited for farming and local organizations in order to build community support for local food production. And so currently the analysis shows that Clark County has about 80,000 acres that comprise the best farming land. And so Warren's going to focus today on developing creative community involvement strategies and help us to realize that our efforts to localize our food system and restore habitat to create thriving ecosystems. And I did a very good job of reading that. So if you want to add anything else to the introduction, please feel free. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Warren Neff. Some of you might know me with my slogan, Southwest Washington hat, but representative.
Mike.
Hello. Representative of the Clark County Food System Council. This is also my first time giving a presentation in front of groups since my year-long sabbatical taking care of my one-year-old kid, so this might be tripping up here. First, just wanted to say thanks for participating in a committee like this. I really think that it takes civic participation like this to really make this county the workforce divisions that we want to be working towards. The Clark County Food System Council, as some of you folks know, is an officially sanctioned committee by the Clark County Board of Commissioners. It as well has staff support. We have representatives from numerous sectors of the food system, meeting regularly, monthly for 10 years, I believe, was founded about 10 years ago. But today, I'm here to solicit support from the Commission on Aging for our proposal we've developed, the Promoting Agricultural Food Production in Clark County. I did see a double rainbow as I walked in, so I thought that was a good sign that we're reading the budget book. The proposal was put together during a year and a half long process by the committee to meet the Comprehensive Plan's Framework Policy 3.1.3, which asked to identify agricultural land on parcels currently used or designated for agricultural use and provide these parcels special protections. That's in the Comprehensive Plan, and so we, as a commission committee, developed this proposal to work towards that. You go to page, I think it's 3. Next one. We went through a process of evaluating lands in Clark County and developed this map identifying the agriculturally productive lands across Clark County. How do we get to identifying these lands? There was 5 kind of metrics that we went through. We included lands that have good to moderate agricultural soils classified as type 1 to 5 by the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Slope, the size of the land, the zoning, is it actually zoned agricultural? And then the tax status. So where to go with, after identifying where our agriculturally productive lands are, we're not proposing any kind of moratorium on developing any of these areas, but we are asking on the page 5 as our actual specific request that I wanted. Yes, the next step is really just the meat of the actual requests that we have after going through this process. And I just thought I'd do that. Clark County Food System Council suggests that the Board of Director Commissioners, during the current update to the Comprehensive Plan, consider voluntary measures to protect and maintain agriculturally productive lands. Various tools are available to do this, all of which would be voluntary on the part of the landowner. According to the American Farmland Trust, land use policies and zoning are the most important factors in maintaining agricultural production and a healthy food system. In addition to determining where our agricultural production lands are, we need to develop tools and systems in order to maintain and expand our food production. The Food System Council is ready to help the county assess, discuss, and develop tools appropriate for our community and how best to respect property rights while offering landowners alternatives and shoes in aside and we'll feedback on this comment on the document. So this is the gist of the proposal that we're really asking. It's not really the strongest teeth document. We're really looking to have a foot in the door with Board of Commissioners to develop voluntary measures to protect and maintain agricultural production lands. As we're going into this new phase of the Comprehensive Plan revision. So I just kind of thought I'd go back and identify 3 things that I'm seeing that this really goes in line with the aging readiness plan. Looking at your document, so there's 3 topics that are really in line of the healthful foods, complete neighborhoods, and open spaces. So as identified in the aging readiness plan, healthful foods is the presence of a neighborhood grocery store or supermarket that can encourage higher fruit and vegetable consumption, which supports dietary needs and helps reduce the prevalence of detrimental conditions such as weight gain and obesity. As my own experience as someone that is tried my hand at farming as well as grew up on a small farm in Bridgefield. It takes partnerships between smaller markets, having farm stands, CSAs, and other direct market opportunities to really be financially viable for our smaller scale farmers, and also provides a lot more opportunities for selling fruits and vegetables more so than centralized big box stores everywhere. We have more opportunities with farm stands, CSAs, smaller markets that are selling local foods. To do that, we need to preserve the agricultural land to do that. Then complete neighborhoods, as identified in the Aging Readiness Plan. A healthy community has neighborhoods with a well-rounded offering of daily goods and services that can be reached within a comfortable walking distance. To me, one of the best tactics we can really work towards this is someone's interested in community planning, is to preserve agricultural lands that will actually put market pressure to develop those complete neighborhoods. I had an opportunity last night to go to the Illegal Lecture. I don't know if anybody goes to this pretty good lecture series in Portland. Last night was Arthur Nelson. He's a metropolitan planning and finance expert. And he was identifying one of the largest trends that's going to be facing development over the next 10 years is the transition from single family homes to folks looking to downsize, largely dealing with the baby boom generation transition. As a metropolitan planner, he sees that that new housing wave actually being one of his claims is that it can all be housed within current parking areas and current metropolitan areas. This is kind of his big picture vision of how we can think about how that new housing development is actually going to happen. And actually how that kind of stuff happen, having agricultural lands preserved, puts pressure on that, those inner urban areas getting redeveloped. And then the third issue that I was seeing that this really close lines with is the commission, the Aging Readiness Plan's desire for open spaces. As someone that grew up in Richfield area, and I was personally good for my own mental health of being out in farmland areas and seeing the open spaces and to keep those ag lands preserved and start developing more agro-tourism programs and open space parks that develop within those preserved agricultural spaces. I think it's really working towards the vision that I think the Aging Readiness Plan is talking about. What's the precedent already stated within our own public documents? Throughout the 2004-2024 comprehensive planning process, county residents continually expressed at those meetings that they need to protect resource land and open space. Frequent comments at those meetings from residents included developing incentives to conserve those resource lands and adopt right to farm and harvest ordinances. The Board of County Commissioners in 2006 stated that they valued agricultural land enough to list it as a recommendation in the 2005 work session, stating minimize the conversion of productive farmland, those lands which have long-term commercial agriculture viability. More thinking on the market-wise, what are the markets showing that there's a precedent being set to preserve agricultural land is just to witness the growth of Vancouver Food Co-op, Neighbors Market, New Seasons, Whole Foods that are trying to source from local foods, just trying to get a grasp of the push for local foods, desire for that, just kind of showing the consumer push for preserving land. But just kind of getting back to brass tacks line here, we're looking to get support from the commission on this proposal. If you want to go back to the next steps page, I think it's number 5, just to really see what we're specifically asking, and it's really asking the Board of Commission to state, yes, we prioritize the preservation of agriculture production land, and we want to develop voluntary measures to preserve that land. So that's it on my side. Do you have any questions?
Are there any questions for Warren?
I do. And Karen might be able to speak to us too. So when you're talking about, you know, giving produce and stuff to local markets, one of the things that we've always talked about is healthy communities and getting fresh fruit and vegetables into, you know, 7-Elevens and little minute marts and things like that. Have you guys ever worked on a project like that with them? Used that as maybe setting up some kind of little stand, you know, it's about people getting out in their neighborhoods and stuff. Maybe it's not convenient to get to New Seasons or that. So in their little local areas.
Yeah, I think of the market that we worked with closely on St. John's. What was that? St. John's, we worked with, especially with the Clark County Healthy Retail Store program. They had a program about 2 years ago that I think it's kind of slowed down here, but I was one of the farmers that they helped partner with a small minute mart on St. John's, and they helped us get some an area of the cooler selling local foods. There's been a number of smaller grocery stores through that program that's shown an interest in having those little grocery store things. It's developing some more mechanisms within the agricultural community to get that food to those little small markets, which there's other groups kind of working on developing that, but we really need more a better aggregation service for small to mid-sized Clark County farmers. And we've done that a little bit through the Backyard County Co-op that's been selling at a market on St. John's. But I think I see that as a great, one of the big areas of growth for access to locally grown food, which is really more nutrient dense than a lot of the, if you go into convenience stores currently and they might have a couple vegetable products in there, but majority of that comes from world markets from other continents, and that travel time, a lot of the nutrient is lost in the foods, and so being able to supply it more locally provides more jobs as well as more investments.
Yeah, I do know that Clark County Health has been working very hard at getting fresh fruits and produce into small mini marts, and at last count, I think we have 7 locations kind of all in the Fourth Plain corridor. But as a Commission on Aging, we try to work intergenerationally as well. And it occurs to me that as we urbanize more and more within this county, there are lots of children that don't realize that peas, beans, and carrots don't grow in cans in the grocery store. It really is quite amazing. There are many children that have no idea where these wonderful fresh fruits and vegetables come from. And as long as we can retain farmland and some farms, the schools can do field trips and show the children, you know, where these wonderful goodies come from. There's tons of benefits in retaining our agriculture land beyond the obvious, which is good fresh food.
Just a comment, you may not know, but in our plan, we have 3 agenda items related to food. So we're going to have people knocking on your door, talking about agriculture in general, talking about grocery stores, and talking about community gardens. Our hope is that we can get together with you in a partnership and assist you in one way or another in making some of those things happen.
Awesome. Are there any other questions for Warren? We're a quiet group today. So. One short fact here for mine is there is actually, I was a Future Farmer of America, and there is land judging, and I did that, and I can tell you which is a 1, 2, 3, or 4. So you need to know what your is between 1 and 4. I'm your guy, so I can do that.
Kristen, you're
FFA.
Wow.
Tree judging.
Oh, exactly.
Judge
so
the tree.
So there it is. We certainly can appreciate and support, appreciate your efforts on trying to implement some of our strategies of a readiness task force, and I think we, as a commission, would be happy to do that. So we appreciate your efforts and everything you've done. So we have a public comment area here as well at the end, but does any of the audience have questions for Warren? Yes, Peggy.
Yeah. I'm Peggy McCarthy with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we've got a couple of vacant lawsuits to our office that I've been trying.
We have several vacant lots next to our office. There seem to be places where a lot of homeless people go to hang out. And I would love to turn them into community gardens. Is that something we should talk to you about? We're also working closely with the corrections, and we'll soon be having a lot of people getting out of jail who will be doing community service with us. And I'm thinking, what a great thing for them to do if we could get permission on these lots to plow them up and put them into community gardens. That and we're in a probably a nutrient deficit area, although there is a Fred Meyer close by and a Walmart close by, but they're across 78th Street. So,
What was the site again? I'm sorry. What was the site?
The site is on Northeast 13th. So it's one block over from Highway 99 and north of 78th.
Okay. Yeah.
And there are lots of apartments in there, and
yeah,
a lot of our clients live in that area.
Yeah. The Department of Food System Council doesn't really lean on that kind of thing. I would say one good partner in the community is Mark Major, the American Building
We're
Community.
We're talking to him already.
Yeah, I know they have more of a fourth and corridor part, focus, but yeah, that's the one. I think continue that focus and find those community leaders to do that would be a good idea.
So you're more agricultural land than community gardens.
That's what this is more focused on. This proposal is for commercial agricultural land.
Right.
Because could I make a quick comment here about the community garden idea? Community gardens are popping up all over this area. And they're wonderful. But one of the first things that I learned from the Master Gardener program, and by the way, if you want to put in a community garden, those are the people that can tell you how to do it. But one of the very first things I learned is that in order for a community garden to be successful, the roots have to be within the community where the garden is located, and you have to have a dedicated group of people that have skin in the game or are willing to put skin in the game, because a garden is worked all year round, and there has to be those people that are willing to put the time and effort into it. So
you can see the evidence of that in some of the community gardens around Marvels.
Exactly. So get the community involved. Yeah.
One or two people that are really champions of community garden and really
Okay.
Hi, I'm Pat LaCroix, and I got a notice on my front door the other day from somebody that was asking if we had any of our land, because we live on like 2.5 acres, if any of our land was available they could use for farmland. And I'm wondering if you know about if any of that, I mean, my first thought was, I'm going to have strangers come on my property to use the land. So I just wonder if there are legitimate things out there like that.
Yeah, there are. I'm not sure about the group that might have approached you, but there are people that are wanting to start farming and really only takes a very small, like, half acre spot to really start at some level of farming and selling a farm stand or to a restaurant. So and so there are people that are trying to approach people that have an acre size type space to be able to form partnerships like that. One good website is yardsharing.org. That's a place where people actually put on their website, I have 3/4 of an acre, would you like to come farm my site? And then there's other people that say, I'm looking to farm. So that's one good, it's really Portland centric, but I've looked at it and there are a number of Clark County sites on there. And I think there's some advice on there on how to negotiate that process.
Any other questions for Warren? Well, thank you very much for presenting to us this evening, and we certainly appreciate your time and your effort, so thank you. Okay, moving on with our agenda, Colette and Anderson and Bob will be dealing with, in the March work session, our work plan and budget and reorganization. And so we've put a lot of effort, thanks to Bob and Colette, on coming up with a draft of what we consider to be a plan of action for us. So we'll be distributing that prior to the work session, and we would ask that you come forward during that time to talk to us about your views and your actually what your future would hold for us as the Clark County Commission on Aging. So. Colette, did you want to say anything else with regard to that, or Bob?
Well, I'm going to send out, if you don't mind, the draft copy, and don't be too shook up about it. It's only 23 pages long. The objective of the meeting in March is to finalize it. So what I would like to have you do is to read over the plan when you get it. And actually, there's two plans. There's a master plan that covers all of the strategies in the aging plan, and all the assignments of all of us and other committee members are there. And then there's the advocacy section. The advocacy section is the biggest one, and that covers 9 years. To get that complete. So the plan, the master plan, is a 9-year plan. It'll be changed every year, I'm sure. But the second draft is just 2014. And that I want you also to take a look at and put down on paper and give to me later the steps that you're going to take to address those strategies that are assigned to you. And if you have a person beside yourself that might be responsible for assisting you in addressing those issues, put their name down also, and at a later point, I will put that into the plan. But the most important thing for you to do at this point is to review the document. It's long, but when you look at it, it's very easy to understand. And I don't think you're going to have any trouble with it. But review it, take notes, and when you come to the March meeting, I want you to talk about it.
Absolutely, Bob. Also, I'd like to say Bob put it in large print for us, so thank you very much. So we can read it a little better. But certainly, Bob has the expertise and has been willing to work with Colette on coming up with a plan. We're certainly appreciative of that effort as well. One thing I will point out will be the 2014-2015 plan, just not the calendar year. We're on the other schedule, so that's how we'll work that plan into our next year's agenda for that. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Kirsten, our treasurer, who has a report for us.
Thanks, everybody. At our last month's meeting, we looked at a couple projects that we had. We were trying to look at our current year budget. And so with the blessing of the commission from last month, what I did is I went, worked with Colette and Jackie, sat down and compiled the two budgets that you approved and brought them together. So what you're looking at here is your budget on your pages here is the income, projected income and expenses, and then it's separated out by designated funds and funds that were not designated, plus your general fund. So if you were looking at an overall budget, you'd probably just be looking at the total side, far right column there. And it's looking good for us up through the end of May 31st. And I guess all I have is putting that out to you as if you have any questions or the balance that we have in our county funds is still the same. It was $5,516 per last month. And then also I brought out, I thought it would be helpful just on a monthly basis to have available the statement from Umpqua, because while I'm providing you with information, I want to make sure you see it direct from Umpqua as well. So our balance with Umpqua is still $2,889.33. Do you have any questions? Lisa?
So I noticed that there's an in-kind part on here. Okay. So when we have an event or we're at something and we're going to have, like at the Senior Expo, we have a basket or whatever, and people give us their email and stuff, and then we raffle it off. Is if somebody sponsors that or gives that to us, do we tell you that that's an in-kind donation?
Yeah, the reason why you're seeing it on this budget is because I had worked with Kathy on her budget next year. So starting in June 2014, we do have some anticipated in-kind contributions coming in. But what you're seeing here is just a snapshot of this year.
Right.
So to answer the question, yes. When we expect in-kind, we want to project that in the income. We'll track it. Try not to speak too close.
Any other questions for our treasurer? Okay. The last thing on our agenda here, there's one additional item I want to do before public comments. One is the communication update. I thought I was attending the commission meeting, but stumbled into the communications meeting because I didn't realize that I had it wrong on my calendar. And so out of the commission communications update meeting, we determined that we would like to have a forum for positive aging in 2015. And this primarily came about due to one of our public comments, Jean, who is not here this evening, but has been a regular attendance of ours, who was saying, you know, we intend to talk about the negativities of aging, such as medical problems, transportation problems, when you get old, what do you do and how do you do it? But we don't spend time talking about positive aspects of aging within our community. And so we're going to do that, and in her honor, we're going to have a panel of 70-year-olds that can tell us how to age well, because that's what she wanted to hear, was 70 or 80-year-old individuals telling us that, and I think that's a great, great, great thing to do, and we're going to be doing that. So what has transpired out of that, Karen Wall and I have agreed to co-chair that particular event, and so we'll be bringing you additional information as the year comes up and setting our budget and doing what we need to do for that. So we'll look at also honoring some individuals that are pretty unique and have achievements within our community as well as one of the goals we're going to look at for that forum. So just a little update. The other thing that's not on here but I think we need to do is I would like to ask the commission to move and to vote on letters of appreciation to the support of individuals, our organizations that we have that we can issue out for them. So for example, we have Klaus, who I think has done an excellent job working with us, and we'd like to have a letter issued out that we appreciate his efforts on behalf of him for helping us with our strategic plan that we have and implementing those plan items as well as the Share Housing and the National Food Council. So any discussion that you want to have about that item, this is a new item for us, so any other discussions about that, good, bad, and different?
Oh, but I want to make it an announcement.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Any comments, Patty?
Well, it seems to me that the Food Council had an ask of us.
Yeah.
Have an asked?
That they're asking for
support.
Support.
Right.
Formal support. Is this not the appropriate time to take that up, or would that be another meeting?
No, we'll take it up, National Food Council. Did I say differently? I meant they were on the part of the agenda for the appreciation for doing that.
Well, I think what they're asking for is the same thing that we went around to all the cities and things was, we presented what we did and we asked for a letter of support that then we could take back to the commissioners and present it.
The last time we had a discussion about support versus appreciation, there was some members of the commission that had issues with that. Is that not any longer an issue?
The issue was endorsing. Versus support, letter of support. We have a policy one. It was a while ago when we drafted it. So I think we might want to, they're all great suggestions. It would seem to me that Klaus would be more a letter of appreciation.
Yes.
And that Let's Share Housing and Warren.
Food Council.
So I'm thinking, could we take it into consideration? And we have a policy.
Okay.
It's just a letter that we would provide you.
Okay, and so we've all seen the policy. So what are we in favor of doing the support for the Let's Share Housing and the Clark County Food System Council?
Yeah, so I make a motion that we provide a letter of our support to both of the organizations.
I second it.
Gary's
second.
Yes, Warren.
Yeah, I'm sorry for not being a little clear. We're looking to have be able to put group's name on the back page of the document.
Right. Which is, that's what this will give you.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
I looked at the back page and we were pending, so we want to take this off of pending and put us onto actually doing it for you. So I did read your materials, so you should be impressed on that. Okay, we have a motion and a second to issue letters of support to Let's Share Housing as well as Clark County Food System Council. Any discussion?
I have a question. So you're not a nonprofit, but you're affiliated with one.
The Clark County Food System Council is an official committee of the Clark County Board of Health.
Okay. But do you partner with nonprofits? That's part of our criteria.
We have nonprofits on the committee.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. And then Let's Share Housing. It's a nonprofit.
They affiliate with nonprofits as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So, with those questions answered, any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Kathy, you did vote?
No, I didn't. Because I'm in a quandary about the Let's Share Housing.
Okay.
I'm not sure that it's.
Let's talk about it. Can we separate them?
Well, I think we already have a motion on the floor to approve both of them, right. So you cannot do anything
without
the
approval.
Okay, abstaining? Okay. The motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, let's open it up. Let's have a motion for appreciation for Klaus, and then we'll go to Lisa, she's giving me the look, and let her discuss her issue. But do I have a motion to issue a letter of appreciation to Klaus?
I'm so moved.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And Lisa, it's your turn.
Thank you. I want to talk about the Recycled Arts Fair and joining another commission, the Arts Commission. And so Patty and I met, and then at I filed our application for the Recycled Arts Fair, and we have a sponsor for our booth. because it does cost. And so we had a great conversation about that, and then the person that runs the recycled arts fair, I forget her name, came and met with us at the communications meeting, and she did receive our application, and there's a couple of little areas that we need to may have juried on what is brought to, because it's all recycled. But we talked about, you know, displaying some artwork, but having it interactive with the community. Had some great ideas about taking computer parts and making things. So that part is going really well. And the other one was the Senior Expo, and we have where the coin purses. We're working on ordering those, and we have a bunch of prizes to hand out. I did want to highlight the Recycled Arts Fair. We're not going to be out in the North 40. The email I got from her said that they accepted, I believe, 138 entries, and she was sending it out to 132, and stay tuned. We were one that got sent out. So just wanted to bring you guys up to date to that and to say thanks to Pat for working with us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Great. Any other discussion about that or comments? Thank you so much.
Do we have to do the coin purses at the end?
Yes, we do. And they're going to be green. We decided, but they're not going to be, no, they're going to be blue. And they're going to have white print on them. And everybody loves them. And you know what? You have the opportunity to abstain from voting.
Next year, you'll have to come to the planning meeting if you want to.
I think I'm going to have to. I will.
Exactly.
Thank you for those wonderful comments as we wrap up here. Let's open it up to public comment. Does anyone have any other comments they'd like to do? Yes. Wait for the mic.
I'm Pat LaCroix, and I'm a commission, the Arts Commission.
Yeah.
And we have our meeting right after yours. We met, our support group is the Arts of Clark County, which is a 501c3. And they had a meeting last night, which I didn't go to because I was in the hospital with my husband.
Oh, no.
And they decided that.
They don't want to do it?
Yes, they want to do it. But one of the projects that we have is it's to paint a car. And they would like to bring the car to the Recycled Arts Festival. It's an old Saab that has a plastic cover on it. And then we're going to get people to paint the car. And it's going to be a fundraiser in that people will be able to sponsor this car. And
we got to talk about that.
It should be really interesting.
I know, but there's guidelines for the Recycled Arts Fair. Then.
Yeah, well, but we don't necessarily have to bring the car to the Recycled Arts Fair. It could be around somewhere, but it's going to be an interactive type of thing, too. And it's something that.
We still got to talk.
Yeah. Anyway, we always have lots of good ideas.
Yeah. So. I want to do the dragon work. I wanted to do a little dragon workshop, you know.
Yeah, I made a monster a couple weeks ago, so. And that's all recycled materials, too. So lots of ideas.
Thank you very much, Pat. Any other? Yes.
I left my first meeting with you guys about a year or two ago.
Remember.
And I went to another one later on. I made a statement. I'm not getting old. We're all getting there, whether you like it or not. You know the two biggest secrets? Two biggest secrets. Be ready to go when you go and know where you're going before you leave. The other comment that I made, there's nothing new about getting old. When there's a lot of taxpayer money being used here. A simple solution to this is to copy other people who have done this, who have been there. And I'm talking about go out of state if you have to. You don't need a big task force. You need one or two people to make a study, see what they're doing. There's a lot of successful retirement homes out there. As far as getting old and being out of money, that's a different ballgame. My background is building affordable housing. I built a lot of housing for a lot of people. The tax revenues were over $200 million just on the stuff that I used to do. I'm trying to say that without being an egotistic here. The reason I mention that is I came out here, I saw nothing but opportunities. For 10 years, I tried. There was all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of red lights. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. If you're going to do something in this county, start thinking about the can do. I like the idea about getting together with all these 70-year-old guys instead of getting together. Hey, at my age, I wouldn't trade places with anybody. Not anybody can say that, but that's where I'm at. But when you have an exciting life, you have an exciting venue sometimes. But anyhow, going back to this study that I'm looking at, I'll tell you a real fast story. Years ago, I know of a guy that went out and lived in the Tulies to buy land for farming in the middle of nowhere. Nobody wanted to go where he went. Paid $200 an acre for the land. As the county grew and grew and grew, his values went up in value. But there was zoning ordinances out there. So his land was zoned agricultural. But in those days, the county allowed rezoning as long as he didn't rezone his parcel. So if a guy had 5 acres next door and he wanted to develop 5 acres, they would rezone it for whatever the guy wanted to do. But the guy couldn't change his zoning on agricultural, so the taxes on the agricultural land stayed the same. Just something for you to think about. Because if you just give it a blanket policy of no all agriculture, you can't do it, no zoning, no nothing. Incidentally, the guy that paid $200 an acre for that land is going for over $2 million an acre today. And I'm talking about Southwest Plaza, Orange County. And nobody wanted to buy that land at the time. And there's a lot of other things I could tell you, but there's nothing new about getting old. Copy success, and there's a lot of other guys have done. And there's a lot of money being wasted by the government right now. I've seen your little videos that you had on one of these shows that you had. And when I looked at it, I said, wow, how are they going to pay for all that? And one of the bottom lines with the task force on aging was that it was too expensive. And I knew that the first time I saw it. If you're going to build something, you're going to have a revenue for it. But this revenue, there's opportunities on you to pay for that. Anyhow, you guys are listening. I don't know what you're going to have to do this. I appreciate what you guys are doing anyhow.
Thank you, and thank you for the advice. Appreciate that so much. Any other comments? If not, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Pardon me.